Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Kedoshim, and our concern for Achad B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael grows, we daven for Shalom, for peace in Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Kedoshim, it seems whenever I learn the Parsha, there's always something new. Could it be a few psukim in, when they learned, they came to a description, the parsha has nothing to do with karbanis, has nothing to do with karbanis at all. It's talking about different mitzvahs, so many mitzvahs here. And in the middle, it doesn't say any other karbanis, and it tells us the rules of pigul and nicer. What's it doing here? Very, very surprising that not everybody seems to comment on this. The Numakorah Skedalus from our scroll has Rabbeinu Bachya on the page, and there I saw in Pasuk Dalit, in Pasuk Hey, rather, he explains why the Chizis B'chuzev HaShlamim is here. Interesting. In Pasuk Dalit, the previous Pasuk, there was an Azhara against Avodah Zarah. Al Tifnu El Ha Eli Lim. There was an Azhara against Avodah Zarah. Zog Rabbeinu Bachya, so Pasuk Hey is telling us, Kishatitsu lavid avoida. If you have a desire to do avoida, leisasuke le'aliyim. Now you know how to do it le'aliyim to avoid desire. Elo l'shem amiyuchad. Do it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what he's saying is that the reason it's here is because people are going to have an urge to be able to have a desire. So the Torah tells you have an urge to do some type of carbon, do it chizmichu zem ha'shlam and do it le'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amazing. Rabbeinu Bachya's explanation, these sukkim is exactly Shita Saramba. The Rambam Shita Amar Nevuchim, which the Ramban brings in Vayikra, is that the reason there's a mitzvah of karbanis in the Torah is as a gather against Avodah Zarah. People would have a desire to be able to have a desire, a taiva. We don't understand it. It doesn't exist today. But there was once a taiva to be able to have a desire. So, in order to balance out the Avodah, the Taiva for Avodah Zarah, the Taiva says, bring Karbanis to Hashem. As I state in Rambam, and the Rambam is about Tmiya that he gives such a reason. However, that seems like to be what Rabbeinu Bachya is telling us in this week's Parsha. It seems to be what he's saying. There is a cloud that in Mitzvah Satayra, everything fits in all directions. It's like a puzzle piece. It fits on one side, and it fits on the other side. So the klal in Mitzvah Satayah is that it fits in all directions. So it's not so difficult to say that really karbanis have their own tam or etzem. They really have their own reason. And it also fits in the way Rabbeinu Bachya or the Rambam explain it as a gedder against Avodah Zarah. You're talking, there's nothing... There's no kasha on this. It just is that the kuda, the point, the idea of the reason it's brought here is for this reason. The takeaway, I guess, is that we have no inkling what the Yetzirah to Avodah Zarah once was, and therefore I guess we don't have an appreciation of this entire message, what we're talking about today. Let's move on to a second topic. This week's Parsha is Lo'itim Naivu, has the avera of stealing, of cheating people. Let's be done. A cheshemishba shayla, an interesting shayla, the following shayla. Two friends are walking, and rachmana litzlan, God forbid it should happen, but it happened. Two friends are walking, and a thief with a gun comes upon them and says, give me your money. So the two friends, one is Reuven, one is Shimon. Reuven quickly takes out $100, but he says, Shimon, I borrowed $100 from you yesterday. Here it is. And he sticks it into Shimon's pocket before Shimon can do anything. He owes him $100. He pays him. Now, of course, the thief with the gun quickly takes away the $100. Question. Halacha, was Reuven Mikayim the mitzvah of paying back the chayv? Forget about mitzvah for a minute. His obligation, his debt obligation, was he Mikayim it by paying it back? Or not? La halacha, what's the din? At first glance, it depends on the following question. Question is, how do you estimate the value of something. $100 bill is worth $100. $100 bill in the pocket of someone who has a thief ready to take it is worth zero. Do we say this $100 was worth $100 and he paid him, or do we say he gave him something worth zero? How do you estimate the value of an item? A general Cheshem Mishpat question. On this, there's a kasha in the Kses HaCheshem. The Kses is in Simen Shin Pei Vav, Sifkat Niyud. And the Kses is the contradiction, a stira between two Gemaras. Both of them are probably familiar to you. The Gemara Bava Kami Daf Yod Aleph talks about an animal that fell into a bar, fell into a pit, and died there. The carcass of the animal has a certain value. The Gemara says, Bibira Shav Yezuza, Ve'aguda Shav Ya'arba. When the carcass of the animal is in the bottom of the bar, you got to get somebody to pull it out. You got to get a machine to pull it out. It's heavy. Then it's worth one zuz. Once it's pulled out and it's on the ground level, it's worth four. Now, forgetting the context of the Gemara, but the words of the Gemara are very clear. The same exact carcass of an animal, which is good for dog food, you can't eat it. So that same animal, if it's in the bottom of the bar, it's worth one zuz. If it's on the pulled up, it's worth four. We see value goes by the place. That's in the same city, whether it's the bottom of the bar, top of the bar. And the market value is the same. But you see that depending on circumstances, the value changes. Okay, Sektik Seis, we have a Gemara that says it depends where it is. Sektik Seis Echayishin, above a Kamadat Tzadik Ches, is a Mechudish Tikka Gemara. Gemara says, Azzeruch Metbeish Lechaveri Liyama Godoyo. Potter. If somebody takes somebody else's coin, and he throws it into the sea, and you can see it. It's in the bottom of the sea. But the Gemara says you need a bar imra, you need a diver to go and get it. So the halach is that he's potter. He says, we say, there it is, your coin. There it is, down in the sea. They're sitting in a boat, and he threw it in. He says, yeah, you can see it. It's a Yamagoro, it's a clear, the water is still, and you can see it sitting there on the bottom. Frantic size, this is an open contradiction. Why don't you say, the coin on the boat is worth X, and down at the bottom of the sea, it's worth a fraction of what it's worth, because you have to get divers to go and get it. Why? By the carcass of the animal, you say one thing, and by the coin, you say something else. As I frantic size. In the Grismasha, Rav Moshe Yeridei Chelik Beis Shuvah Kuf Yadalit answers the question of the Kseis with a essential Yisayid in all laws of Chayshe Nishba. Rav Moshe is applying it to cases there. He learned the Shuvah, it's Geshmak. But I'll share with you the Yisayid. Rav Moshe's Yisayid is the following Yisayid. He says, if you have a society in which you have goods that fluctuate in value, how do you determine the value? For example, someone stole someone's bushel of apples in 1962. A bushel of apples then cost $1. He's coming now in the year 2024 to pay back for what he took 62 years ago. He says, I owe you $1. That was the value of a bushel of apples. He says, what? You owe me a bushel of apples. Today, a bushel of apples are on you now. So the Gemara Perek HaZav says that society has something called tibba. Tibba is currency. All value is pegged to currency. It's fair, it's not fair, it doesn't matter. Society works with a stable currency. Everything else fluctuates. Could be that apples went for $1 to $100, or 100 times as much. What about an electric calculator, which was $20 in 1962, and today it's worthless? He broke his calculator. He stole his calculator in 62. What does he owe him? He owes him $20. Because everything is pegged to tibba. Tibba is currency, and peira is merchandise, is goods. And it's a law in Chayshe Mishpat that everything is pegged to the constant. The constant is Tiba. The Ofer says, Rav Moshe, when a coin is in the bottom of the bar, it doesn't matter where it is. A coin is Tiba. It always has a constant value. When the carcass of an animal, that's goods, that fluctuates, depends on circumstances. This is the rule for all Chayshe Mishpat. All Chayshe Mishpat is pegged to Tiba. If you borrowed $100 from someone, you tell them, I'll pay you back in 10 years, but I'll pay you, no ribbis, just inflation, the inflation rate. I'll pay you when it goes up. Nothing doing, that's ribbis. Tiba is constant. Currency is constant in the eyes of halacha, and that's the rule. Now we come back to our original shayla. A thief is standing there pointing a gun. Reuven owes Shimon $100. It depends. If Reuven tells Shimon, I owe you $100, here's a gold bracelet, it's worth $100. I'm paying you back. He sticks it in his pocket. He hasn't paid him back anything. He gave him something, a gold bracelet that's worth zero. There's a gun standing right here. However, if he gives him a $100 bill, that's Tiva. $100 bill is always worth $100. So then he's paid him back. He's paid him back. He's Yitzhak paying him back. And Shalom Yisrael. And that's that. This would seem to be the halacha. I know there's room to be mefatzek for other reasons, perhaps. But the pashtus, this seems to be the rule. So it would come out that technically he got away with it. He paid him $100. He gave it to him. He put it in his pocket. He was kind of. Of course, when I said two friends were walking in the street, they were friends in the beginning. At the end, they won't be friends. He used a loophole. He found a loophole in halacha, and he got away with it. He gave him $100. Is it the right thing to do? No, not the right thing to do. Nobody would say it's the right thing to do, but we're dealing with Chayshe Mishpat, and this is the way the world's come out. Besides telling you the rule of Tiba and Peiri, I want to tell you something else. Not every time there's a heter al halacha, you have to use it. Rabelsky told me in regard to a certain shayla that Ramesh told him, Nisht ala heterim daf bin nutzen. Not every heter has to be used. Now, you have to know, you can't abolish Chayshe Mishpat, Chayshe Shulchan Aruch. They are a heterim in Chazal. They are a heterim in the Torah. But people who live a life of trying to keep the Torah and using every loophole, no, it's not nishta zaydav zayd, that's not the way it's supposed to be. A person has to deal in with the Torah with a proper Yerushalayim, a proper attitude, proper sense. And that, Rabbi said, is the second lesson that comes from the Chayshe Mishpat deal that we're talking about. Kedoshim to you. Keep the Torah the way it's supposed to be kept. Kedoshim to you. That's the lesson of the parasha. I want to wish one and all an absolutely wonderful, fantastic, extraordinary Shabbos. With no doubt, you're all going to look up the Ktzais, which of course you want to see in Shin Pei Vav Simchat Yud, the Gersmaisha, which you want to see in Yeridaya Beis Kuf Yudal, and Agav, you'll see a tremendous Chiddush, actually a Kula in Hilchos Maisris. And you have a very geshmaka Shabbos because you'll be tumbling, and everybody will tell me why the fellow who paid the $100 at the point of a gun still owes him the money. Maybe for other reasons, me or Deah. A good Shabbos to one and all.